and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 182, the I'm not on time episode. I'm a week late episode. That's what we've got going on. I just had a party, and I'm still recovering, even though I only drank two glasses of wine. Oh my goodness. Last Friday was my party, my beauty counterparty. I talked about this a few episodes ago, that my friend Allison is now a consultant for a company called Beauty Parlor. You can go read all about Beauty Parlor over at beautycounter.com. They do toxin-free beauty products, and they're very, very nice. And the way that Allison sells Beauty Counter products is primarily, or at least initially, through house parties. And then once you become her customer, if you're into the product, then you reorder through her, and that's how she makes her money doing this. And she really believes in this, as she should. It's a good company and a good cause. So if you're interested in learning how to get your hands on safer beauty products, from lotions and potions and sunscreens and makeup, go check out beautycounter.com. Anyway, had the party, had 12 people come, which was exactly the right number. If it had been a bigger party, we actually are downstairs. We have two rooms, my front L, the front room, the front L that I use for writing and quilting and hanging out. It is pretty much, I mean, anyone is welcome in this space, but it's pretty much I'm the one who uses it. The party was in the living room. And if it had been bigger than 12, then we could have spilled over into this part. Both rooms are adjacent to the kitchen. The living room, in fact, is a big room. The living room it's a big open room, and then there's sort of the breakfast dining. It's not a dining room, but just, you know, sort of a breakfast nook, and then the kitchen, and it's all a big open space. And then you go through a door into the L. So we could have spilled over, but this way with 12 plus me and Allison made 14, and I rearranged the furniture. I still have the furniture rearranged. I brought in our porch couch, and fortunately I had washed the cover. Brought in the porch couch, and I kind of am enjoying this rearrangement. The main couch is kind of at an angle now, and it's kind of funky. It kind of looks like a funky bohemian salon, so I'm going to leave it like it is for a little while until it starts driving us crazy. But it was a good time. Very nice people. It made me realize I have very nice friends. There were a couple people who came who I actually know and have known for a long time, but I'm not close to, but still really like a lot. It was nice to have them over and to talk to them. And it was funny because the party started at 7:35 after people dropped off their children at the middle school dance. That was the whole plan, that you would drop off your kid at the dance if you were doing that, and then come over to the house. And then the idea is the party would wrap up around 10 when it was time to pick up. Anyway, the funny thing was we really didn't start getting down to Allison's spiel until like 8:45, and I'm thinking we need to get started with this. But everyone's having such a good time talking and chatting and reconnecting that it took that long. And that's okay, because she got to do her spiel and people bought stuff, and so it all worked out well. And it was nice, and my house is still clean. Of course, it took, you know, a week not to get it clean, because I have Betty, the house cleaner, coming, and she came on Tuesday. But I mean, but there's just stuff that you kind of let go. You know, it's like we have baskets in our bathroom, which, you know, quite frankly, are mostly there to hold reading materials. And yeah, that's where we throw the magazines and all kind of stuff. And you just let everything pile up. And it's good to have a reason to go in and go, I need to make this look nice, and to cull everything. And there's one basket that holds hand towels, and to refold everything and just throw stuff away and clear stuff out and straighten up the bookshelves and all those things. So all in all, it was great, but it really took up a lot of energy last week. So, and that's all of this is to say, that's why I didn't post last week. I was just full steam ahead on the party, but we had fun. It was a success. Everyone agreed we should have more parties in my house. Like, yeah, let's do that. But the man and I were talking about it afterwards and feel like, we should probably try to entertain a couple times a year. That would be good for us. It would be, get the house really ship shape at least twice a year. And we enjoy it. And the man was really great. And he worked really hard, too, to help get ready for the party. So in any event, I do have some quilt diaries. So let me tell you, by the way, that today is Monday, February 8th, 2016. And I think that's all I have to say before we get going with the quilt diaries. Quilt diary day one. It is Monday, January 25th, 2016. We still have ice. We still have ice. So you probably, many of you, at least in the States, may be aware that the East Coast got hit really hard by a snowstorm this weekend. I'm wondering how Tanisha is doing up in Maryland, because I think they got hit a lot harder than we did here down in North Carolina. But nonetheless, the part of North Carolina that I am in, which is Central North Carolina, what we got was sleet and rain. And that came in on Friday, and then Saturday, Friday night, Saturday morning, it snowed, which is actually very nice because it was very pretty, but the snow just covered up and insulated in its way. It's a couple inches of pretty thick ice, and the boys didn't have school Friday, and they didn't have school today. Tomorrow's a 1-hour delay. I think all the main roads are clear. The side roads are still a little iffy. The 1-hour delay thing is like, what is that going to do for us? Nothing. But fortunately, the man who has four-wheel drive and is much more confident about driving in iffy situations will drive the boys. And I think once we get off our road, it'll be fine. And then tomorrow it's supposed to be like 55. So it's all going to be good. And it's been fine. I'm getting a little stir-crazy. I'm thinking tomorrow I may go to one of my places, the Mad Hatter Cafe or Gugelhopf, and work there. I need to get out. I need to see people. We've been inside for a long time. The good news is I've gotten a lot of work done in a lot of different ways. I finished a revision of my Sam the Man book, the second book in a series, and this is going to be Sam the Man and the Rutabaga Plan. The man gave me the notes on Birds in the Air, which is one of my quilting novels, the one that I've actually finished. I'm working on another one. And there were good notes. It's interesting for both of us because right now we're working together. We're still on this plan that we're going to try to publish this book ourselves. It may be at any time we're going to say, no, we're going to send it off to New York and to an agent, or I'll talk to my editor at Simon & Schuster and say, can you find me somebody who I could send this to? That could still happen. But right now, we're still en route to try to self-publish it and see how that works. And we're both learning, and we work together very well. The man does have a background in editing, but I think the second draft of this book is very different from the first, and I think we're both still kind of figuring out how to do our jobs. Or for me, I know how to do my job, but part of my job as a novelist is to figure out what the novel is about, and what part, since he's working in the role of editor, his job is to also figure out what it's about and what I need to do to make it better. And that can be hard, and I think that he hasn't worked as a editor in this capacity in many years. And so he's worked very, very hard. I'm very touched by how hard he's worked. And a lot of his all of his feedback is good. But I mean, the document he gave me today was a lot of pages, but a lot of it's him working out his thinking and his so in any event. But I do have his notes and I have an idea. You know, it's interesting. I got a comment from AJ Dubb and asking me why I'm not a big fan of the Mitford series, which I would love, by Jan Crum, which, to be honest, I would love to be a big fan of. And I think, there's a lot that I do like. And I do like the main character, Father Tim. There are two things for me. One is I don't think she does dialect very well. And I think it has to do more with the presentation of the dialect. I say this as someone who has written several novels and sort of in a Southern with, you know, first person novels with characters who are Southern. And two of those are characters who are live in the Southern Appalachians, the mountains of North Carolina, which is its own particular dialect. And what I can say is it's difficult to do well. And you have to be careful because it's very easy to trip into caricature. And I think Jan Caron does, which is too bad because there's so much that's good about those novels. The other thing, and, you know, I hesitate to say this because I don't want to kill your buzz if you love those novels. And so many people do. And so many people have gotten great comfort and joy out of them. And I don't begrudge anyone that. For me, part of the problem is you have to, if you have spent time in the mountains of North Carolina, when you read the Mitford books, you have to suspend disbelief, which may be true of any kind of cozy novel you read. Although, you know, it's interesting to me. Now, I have only read a couple of the Louise Penny books, the Inspector, I want to say Ganache. That doesn't seem right. Maybe it is, but you know. But I've read a couple, and I've liked them. I'm not a huge mystery person, but I've liked them. And there is a coziness to them, but there's also a realness to them. I feel like you get into, you know, the realness of human. I think people act out of true human nature. And I think that's a hard line to walk. I think with the Mitford novels, you know, if you are familiar, and most of us are, I mean, this country still has a lot of rural areas, you know, less so maybe in the Northeast, but once you get down south or start going out west, you know that the rural people and the rural communities of this country are suffering because so much of manufacturing has gone overseas. And when you get up in places like the Southern Appalachians, you have very serious problems with drugs, with methamphetamines. It's just, and it's across this country, in rural communities which have, quote unquote, failed. That's a real problem. And so for me, and again, I don't want to be holier than thou. I don't want to, you know, for you go, oh, you know, the way you can feel about people who are just kind of like, well, didn't you know that there's a methamphetamine problem up, you know, and Caron, I don't know if she still lives there, but when, you know, the Mitford books are loosely based on Banner Elk, which is a beautiful community. It is a resort community. There's a university there. It's a really nice, nice place, you know, but it doesn't take too long to get into the hills where people are, I think, a lot, you know, it's just hard. And, you know, and it's not that she avoids that completely. There are homeless characters or characters with mental illness, but she plays it kind of light. So there's sometimes that's a little hard for me. But again, I don't want, like I said, I don't want to kill your buzz. And there, you know, for me, it's kind of like Stars Hollow, you know, the Gilmore Girls. That's a completely made up world that I enter into very happily, and I get a certain feeling from it. Although it is a godless community. Sometimes I think about that. It's interesting. It's like, there's absolutely no religion, which to some extent I don't care about. I mean, I am a religious person. I don't need my entertainment to be theological, but I'm saying, so that's another world. And, you know, it's easy because it's like Connecticut and I know that like New Haven is where Yale is actually, there's a lot of poverty in Connecticut too, in the urban areas, but it's not my area. So I can go into Stars Hollow and love it and just go, oh, I wish that were true. And I know it's not true, but I really love pretending it's true. And I think Mitford is like that for a lot of people. And I think it does have that element of faith. And, you know, and again, I really like Father Tim, and there's a lot I do like about the books, but I think the dialect pushes me out a bit because I don't think she's good at it. And just the kind of, I don't know, the happy, homeless, crazy people. It's a little hard. But, you know, again, you know, I think A.J. Dubb was the one who brought it up. And I think she's in Utah. So it's a far world for her. And the way that Stars Hollow and, you know, Connecticut is a far world for me. And we all want that place to be real. And, you know, I think in the next world, it will be real. So anyway, that's long and going on. But one of the things with Birds in the Air, it's
set in a mountain community, and I wanted it to be cozy, but you know, I kind of also wanted to be realistic, and that's hard, and trying to figure out how to strike that balance of it being real and the characters being real and having real problems, and at the same time wanting to be funny and interesting and quilt centered, all that stuff's going on. So anyway, lots of good work for me to do right now. But the other work that I'm doing is working on a quilt. So, you know, I've been talking about trying to get something going at my church to do to make quilts, and perhaps to give to social services or Department of Child Protection, to get quilts to children who are being taken out of their homes for various reasons. And I did contact my pastor, Heather, and she's very interested in this idea, and the youth minister is very interested in the idea as well. There is a group at church that meets already that's doing, it sounds like it's more of a knitting group. Now, you know, I love to knit, so that's great. But Heather, the pastor of the church, felt like, well, maybe we should first kind of, since there's that group already going on, maybe kind of figure out how to incorporate with that group, what have you. So we'll see. But I thought, well, you know, I'd like, and it's funny, and she sent out emails, and the woman who's in charge of that group said, oh, I'm trying to get organized for the new year. And I thought, you know, we'll see what happens. But what I know is that oftentimes if you have an idea like this, you better be prepared to make it work yourself. So I have been working on a quilt, sort of a model quilt, and I have been hand piecing, which is interesting, which I actually really enjoy, but just doing, you know, it's a four patch, and I'm going through my stash and kind of coming up with, you know, and just cutting out, I would decide to go with 3.5 inch squares, just so that, because they're bigger than 2.5 inch squares, I guess, you know, there's an argument for having done 4.5 inch squares, but, I don't know. I just went with 3.5 inch. And so I've been hand piecing this weekend, which I have been enjoying. You know, I was talking with my mom, and she's done some hand, I don't know if she's done hand piecing. I know she's done hand quilting. And she was saying that this quilt she did, that she hand quilted, you know, talking about it, just was the softest quilt she's ever made. And that makes sense because I think you know, the style of machine quilting right now is fairly dense quilting, which I like. I like how it looks. I find it aesthetically pleasing, and that may be something that 5 years from now I won't, but I do like that. And, you know, I have one quilt, the Hidden Stars quilt, where I actually did part of it, I hand quilted it. And one thing, it's a large enough quilt, I think it's probably a twin size quilt, that I realized it would take me so long to finish hand quilting it. But two, my mom was talking about the softness, and I sensed that there wasn't enough tension in the stitches, and that I prefer machine quilted stitches. So, why am I hand piecing this quilt? Because I think a lot of, if we gather together to make quilts, to make quilt tops, in the beginning, I think most people would be hand piecing. If we were doing this in a group, you could see ultimately evolving where people were bringing in machines and machine piecing. But I think as a group, there might be a more of a tendency to hand piece. And so I wanted to do that myself. Once I'm sort of warmed up, I can piece fairly quickly. I'm kind of slow at everything I do. Like, I'm a slow walker and I'm a slow knitter. I think it's just being a little bit dreamy, but I'm sort of surprised by how fast things are coming together. And you know, obviously it's a four patch, which is simple and pleasing, but I'm also thinking about what I'm thinking about. So I want to make a model quilt top so that I can understand what size it needs to be, understand, you know, so that I can say, well, for this, you need to cut out this many squares and do such and such. But it's interesting to think about, and what I'm thinking about doing is making, because Heather, the pastor, is actually interested, although she doesn't quilt, and Gare, who is the youth minister, is very, very interested in learning how to quilt. And so I thought, well, maybe what I should do and sort of use them as guinea pigs is to put together kind of packets with instructions to help them make like a couple blocks. And so as I'm working, I'm thinking, how do you teach someone to do this? And you have to have a very simple pattern. But then there's also, like, for you and me, when we say, you know, pressed toward the dark side, which sounds very menacing, press, I don't know, you know, whatever the typical instruction is when you're pressing your pieces, you know, we know what that means. How do you actually explain simply to someone who's never even sewn? You know, that even that idea is kind of complex. or you know, so, and also I'm used to just doing strip piecing, is that right? Or strip cutting, whatever, you know, but using a rotary blade and rulers and a cutting mat to cut out squares. And that's something too. It's like, you know, because you imagine, again, gathering a group of people, many of whom don't quilt, and saying, okay, so you need, say, 80 3.5-inch squares. And you also need a cutting mat and a rotary cutter and two rulers, and this is how, you know, and all of that. I mean, in some ways, it's probably not that complicated to teach how to do that. I mean, it wasn't complicated to learn it, but just kind of thinking, how do you do that in a group setting? How, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm piecing and I'm thinking how the best way to teach people who might be interested in quilting. And I know Gare, the youth minister, would like to bring youth into this project, which I think is a great idea. My hope is that we will also get people from other churches in the downtown area and youth from those churches as well. That would be great to come in and to work together. We shall see. I always have big plans, but we're going to start very small. But I'm trying to think, how even do you start small on a project like this? Assuming that most people don't have sewing machines, don't have sewing skills or quilting skills, how do you teach them? I don't know. And I know some of you are teachers. So, you know, and if you have any advice for me, you know, email me, fdowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, at nc.rr.com, because I would love to hear some of your ideas about how to teach people who have no idea how to do the basic stuff, how to do that, or if you have resources. And of course, we're, you know, I feel fortunate that we've got YouTube. In any event, let me tell you one of the things. So I buy books all the time, and so often I buy the book, and by the time it arrives, 2 days after I ordered it on Amazon Prime, I've lost interest. That's not quite true, but sometimes you get books, and then, you know, and life gets busy, and you don't actually have time to explore them. And I have a book that I ordered many years ago. I think it came out in 2009. It's called Quilting for Peace, Make the World a Better Place, One Stitch at a Time, by someone called Catherine Bell. Has more than 25 inspiring essays and 15 charity projects. It's a very nice book. It's very nicely made. It's very nicely done. Who published it? I can't even tell you. Oh, it's an imprint of Abrams, Stuart Tabori and Chang. But it's nice. And so it has great, has some very, very nice patterns, including dog beds and sleeping bags, but mostly quilts. And it has lots of nice stories. The essays are really sort of just pieces on different quilting groups and different charity projects across the country. But I've had it for a long, long time. And of course, now as I'm thinking about this stuff and looking for patterns and thinking about how, you know, who can we help? How do you do it? Et cetera, et cetera. Did I just say et cetera just before? I probably did. It's a good book to have. So now I'm very glad that I have it, and probably will share it with Heather and Gare because they also might find it inspiring. So speaking of books, and another book that I got a while ago and was, but never read. I mean, I read part of it, but never finished or started it, and I thought, well, you know, this is a book that at some point
I'm going to finish, but I've gotten into it. It's called The Freedom Quilting Bee. I know I've mentioned it on this podcast. The subtitle is Folk Art and the Civil Rights Movement in Alabama by Nancy Callahan, who I believe is a folklorist. But essentially, the Freedom Quilting Bee was a quilting cooperative that was started in the 60s. A lot of the Geese Bend, I have to look that up. I never remember if the G is hard or not. But anyway, a lot of those women were involved. And in fact, the history of, let's just say Geese Bend for right now, I didn't know it, you know, but it's fascinating. And one of those weird things that happens yesterday, I don't know what I was doing. I guess I was stitching. I was hand piecing, and I started watching the movie about Franklin D. Roosevelt, which may be called Warm Springs. Just about when he's a politician, he's not yet president, but he gets polio and is paralyzed. And part of it is about the time he spends, I believe it's in Georgia, trying to get healed and going to these mineral springs, and he does get stronger down there, you know, because he's paralyzed from the waist down, but he actually I'm only halfway through and I can't remember if I don't think he ever walks, but I think he does regain some strength in his legs. And also while he's down there, of course, sees the poverty, particularly of Black people in the South. And I think that affected him as president and during the Depression. And he, so Geese Bend, it's down in Alabama. It's at the bend of this river. It's a fairly isolated community. It was it's a piece of land, I can't remember, maybe 5,000 acres. It kind of went from one owner to another, the Petaways. Were owners, and you know, a lot of that's a very common name. If you followed those quilters at all, that's a common surname is Petaway. And a bunch of folks who ended up down there were slaves who walked from Halifax, North Carolina, down to Alabama when their owner bought that property. There was, you know, the generations of quilters, but also, you know, post Civil War, you know, the land down there is amazing. It's called the Black Belt because the soil is very black and very rich and fertile. And people got along, and people, you know, after Civil War, after slaves were freed, it was an entirely black community, and people did fairly well. The Depression hit hard, like it hit everywhere else, and cotton was the main crop, and its price went down, and it was sort of, and a lot of the people there dealt with a white man who held their cotton. I mean, that was the agreement. Because he was waiting for the prices to go back up. Well, he died. And a lot of these people, there was, you know, that's who they were contracting with. Again, agreements were in place, and he died, and they had debts to him. They had, and his wife called them in, and so basically, what happened? They didn't have money. They didn't have any way to pay the loans and pay what they owed because that cotton crop had never brought in any money. And she sent down the folks who took everything from them. Took their animals, took everything that was worth anything as a way of payment. And they were devastated by that. Well, somehow or another, Roosevelt got interested in this community and sent down, through the Farm Securities Act, sent down people to kind of reinvest in this community. And it became quite a success story. It's just a fascinating piece of history. So how these people were devastated, and then through Roosevelt's acts, they had all kinds of stuff going on. It just reignited the community, and they were very they certainly did not become wealthy or even middle class, but kind of were revived by those programs.
through Roosevelt's administration. So it's just kind of a fascinating history. But also, the quilting bee started when, you know, there was an Episcopal priest who was from Alabama, had progressive race views, was sent up to New Jersey, and then brought back down in the 60s. And in the early 1960s, he was driving around and he saw some quilts hanging on a line, and they were beautiful. And he bought them, and he started a cooperative. And so these women were making quilts, and these were African American women making these amazing quilts that we know through the G-Spend quilts, and selling them in New York and auctioning them off. And it was a really quite profitable cooperative for a very long time. So anyway, the history is actually quite fascinating in a lot of ways, but certainly just that history of G's Bend and the history of that area and these people making a living through this cooperative, making a living through their handiwork. And it doesn't seem to me that it's something that could be repeated now, but it's, I don't know, it's just a great story. Speaking of great stories, I did finish A Man Called Ove. I will link to it in the show notes. I do not remember the author's name, but it's a delightful book. So I really do recommend it. I cried like a baby at the end. I got an email from my friend Barbara, who listens and then emails me, and she did actually point out that in the last episode, I referred to something as solitude porn, and she said, "Aren't you the one who hates that kind of phraseology?" And I'm like, well, she didn't say phraseology, but basically like anything blank porn. I'm like, yeah, I do hate that, but you know, I'm so full of contradictions. You know, St. Paul says, you know, I do what I would not do, and I don't do what I would do, and that's how I am. So I apologize if that was offensive to anyone's ears, because, you know, my only justification, other than I'm really just full of it, but I have no justification. I just contradict myself and am a hypocrite. But anyway, it's good. It's good that you guys listen to me and remember stuff that I say. No, it's not. I wish you wouldn't. But no, just kidding. Just kidding. I apologize. So that is my news for right now. Tomorrow's Tuesday. The boys go back to school. They have an hour delay, and I've got some writing to do. Like I said, I think I'm going to try to get out of the house. Jack's advisor, Mrs. McDonald, is pregnant. We just got the email tonight. So as Jack goes into his senior year, his advisor will be on maternity leave, which actually, when he went into his freshman year, she was also on maternity leave. I very much support maternity leave. We've had actually quite a spate of teachers and advisors with both boys being on maternity leave. Just the luck of the draw, I guess. And also just sabbatical. Will has an amazing history teacher this year, the 7th grade history teacher at our school. Amazing. She's about to leave on sabbatical. Just the way that cookie crumbles. In any event, I thought, I'll have to make a quilt. She's due in July. And so, of course, what I plan to do, I'll find a good pattern, but then get the kids and the advisory, there are, I think, 10 of them, to write little messages to the baby or to Miss McDonald. So it's always nice to have a project like that, a gift project. But in the meantime, I will continue to stitch my little four-patch squares, which is really nice. We are watching Homeland, the second season. It's awfully good. And I am watching Doc Martin, which I've already watched. You know, I don't know how many seasons I watched. I watched it many years ago. Several years ago. And I don't know how far I got. So now I'm just starting at the beginning, which is fun because now there are 7 seasons. So, yes. Anyway, that's where I am now. I hope you're in a good place. I shall return. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Wednesday, February 3rd. I was actually supposed to have a podcast episode posted on Monday. I'm a little bit behind. I'm having a party Friday. This is a beauty counter party. If you've been listening over the last couple months, you know that in December I attended a beauty counter party. My friend Allison, who is the mother of Will's best friend Wynn, has become a beauty counter consultant.
So I attended the party and I'm holding a party because Allison and her husband Dax have been very kind to Will and were very kind to him in particular this fall. They had extra tickets. They have season tickets to see UNC football games. They had extra tickets and they took Will to a bunch of games. So I'm just trying to be a good friend to Allison and honor Will and Wynn's friendship, although they have absolutely nothing to do with beauty counter products, but in any event, so that's why I'm having the party. One of the things I've recalled now from when the last big party I had, which was much bigger than this party, but when I turned 50, we had a big party, and I sent out invitations in plenty of time and expected people to RSVP immediately, and two people did, and 48 other people really took their time about it. And you know, it's one of those things where you kind of get snitty about it until you remember it's like, yeah, you don't actually RSVP that promptly either, and there are a lot of reasons why people wait to RSVP. But so I sent out the invitation and I got a couple people right away said, yes, we will come to your beauty counter party. And others trickled in, and then I sent out a follow-up past Sunday, a week after the first one, and then got a lot more replies. Right now, I think I'm at 11 people are coming. I narrowed my ask to 7th grade moms who I kind of sort of know or know well. There is a middle school dance on Friday. The school is very close to our house, so the idea is that people could drop off their kids at the dance if their kids were going and then come over to my house after drop off and could hang out here, enjoy the beauty counter experience, and just hang out until it was time to go pick the kids up. So I have gotten 11 yeses, rumors of a 12th, but that was my hope, that I asked about 26 and I knew there'd be a bunch of people who, for whatever reasons, couldn't come or wouldn't want to come. But I was hoping for 12. I thought that would be a good show for Allison, and I'm sure a number of them will buy products. And apparently, if a certain amount of product is sold, a certain amount of money is earned, I get a gift. Now, I'll tell you, this stuff is expensive, so it will not take long to meet that limit. That's not really why I'm doing the party, but it's nice. I could get some, being almost 52, when I was at Allison's party, what I was looking at was like the, you know, anti-aging potions, which I don't actually believe work, but it's such a nice idea. And the funny thing is, you know, I actually have all my insecurities. Looking old is not one of them, but nonetheless, you know, can't hurt to kind of, you know, put on some potions. Anyway, but that stuff's really expensive. So, and I could get some free anti-aging magic if enough people buy. So come on, ladies, spend up or out or whatever you do. In any event, having a party, and that's kind of, I'm trying to get everything straightened up for Betty. The house cleaner came yesterday, so the house is basically clean. I'll touch up the bathroom and straighten up the kitchen, but that's nice not to have to worry about that. But there's certain things that just need, like today, even though we probably will not be in my sewing area, it's possible that people will drift in here, and it always just feels good to clean this area anyway, because it gets messy so quickly. So I've really focused on getting this all straightened up. I need to straighten up my baskets in the bathroom, and they get full of hair product and magazines and what have you. So I need to do that. But I don't have a ton to do, but just little things. And I'm doing some cooking, but not a lot, but just stuff like pimento cheese and hummus. I think I'm going to do crostini, which I really like. And, you know, just grapes and almonds and chocolate chip cookies and brownies. And I'll try to make it all look very nice. We'll see. I hope it goes well. But if it doesn't, it just lasts 2 hours. And then I'm done. And I've done my good deed. Yay. The end. As far as a quilting, I continue to work on the hand-pieced quilt that I'm making as sort of a sample quilt for the donation project. I know that I talked about it in the first quilt diary, but of course now at this point can't remember what I said. I'm still waiting to hear about the formation of a group, or actually the inclusion of this project into a group that already exists at church. Don't know, had never heard of this group. Apparently they knit and knit for charity, but never mentioned. So I'm not actually overwhelmed by their ability to lure in participants, but you know, I can do that. So, but haven't heard anything back. Pastor Heather did email the leader of that group, who sent back kind of a half-hearted, "Oh, just having a hard time getting things started in the new year," which did not fill me with confidence. That's okay. I'll take over. I'll make things work. Believe me, I can be bossy when I need to be. I am enjoying the hand piecing. It's fun to be mobile as a quilter. I'm concerned about the stitches, not their evenness. I've marked all my little squares, so I know I'm doing quarter inch seams, but I don't know if the stitches are really small enough and durable. But you know, the only way to figure this stuff out is to do it and make the quilt and wash the quilt and jump up and down upon the quilt. I'm trying to keep the stitches a quarter inch or smaller, preferably smaller, but it's hard. It's hard to do. So we shall see. We shall see. But I enjoy it. The only thing, you know, I have to keep telling them, slow quilting, because, you know, it is, even as I'm enjoying the mobility, enjoying being able to sit in front of the TV and not have the machine going while I'm watching a show and all of that. I enjoy all that, but there's always that thought, wow, this is taking me a week and a half, and I could have put this whole top together in 2 hours if I were doing by machine. But that's why I say slow quilting, right? That's the movement. That's the word. Because that's the thing. If you make it about time, it's just a silly equation. But I'm done with all the blocks, and now I'm piecing the blocks together. So I should have a top done. You know, it just depends. I don't, because of the party, I'll get some sewing done. If I weren't having the party and spending a lot of time and energy getting ready for that, I would probably have it done by Sunday. But I don't know if I will or not. We shall see. I will put some pictures up, or a picture up. I got my navy blue fabric to finish my Victoria Finley Wolf Stars quilt. So I'm excited about that. And I don't, again, that I probably will not, that will take just a very short amount of time to finish. But I probably won't be till next week till I get around to doing that. But I'm looking forward to having that quilt and seeing how it all ends up. What else to tell you? Let's see. So guess what? It's actually Quilt Diary Day 3. I can't remember when I recorded last week, if it was on Wednesday or Thursday. I know it wasn't Friday, because Friday was party day. In any event, but I paused because I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to do thanks for everyone who left a comment, and then I didn't have my computer with me, and then, because the way it is for me the week before a party, or particularly a couple days before a party, constantly going, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. So I just kind of left you hanging. You just didn't know it. The wonders of radio. So I do want to say thank you to everyone who commented, and I hope I'll get everyone. Sometimes, like, Cotty was catching up with all these podcasts, and so I worry. Let me see, because they typically sort these by not when the comments come in, but according to episodes. So I'm hoping. So thanks, Kadiar, for commenting on many, many episodes. I feel like a lot of people are getting caught up. That's what I'm hearing in the comments. Like, I got a couple comments from Jay. I happen to have posted on her birthday. This is comments. These are comments on episode 181. And Jay, I did get both comments and they are both posted. So I got a nice, but she said she was catching up and Kelly the Fifth is behind on her podcast. Although I always love hearing from Kelly the Fifth. Travis is behind me. Sorry, I hope that bark didn't startle you. He's very barky today. I think it's because we haven't really been on a walk in a couple days. And then today when I was sleepy today, it's Monday. The boys didn't have school. It was a teacher's work day. So, I mean, I got up and I did my writing and did, you know, my usual morning stuff. But in the afternoon, I just kind of got sleepy. So I napped. And then I finally got up and said, all right, Travis, let's go. I should say I did everything I usually do except my usual routine, right, which is taking the boys to school and getting breakfast and walking Travis. So late this afternoon, I went to take him out, and it started raining, and it was a cold rain, and for a while it was fine because I'm reading The Road to Little Dibbling. I think that's it, the new Bill Bryson book, which I'm just enjoying so much. But of course, he's walking around England, so I just pretended for a while like I was walking around England, and that worked until the rain really got heavy, and then we came home. But so anyway, I think he's just kind of like barking a lot, maybe so that I'll take him outside so he can chase away everybody. So yes. Anyway, I want to say thanks to Marianne, and she who gets excited when I mention UMass Amherst in Western Massachusetts. Her daughter is a graduate of UMass Amherst, yay, and she lives in Eastern Massachusetts, Marianda. So I'm glad that I can make you happy when I mention Western Mass, a place that I like very much but have not been to in many, many years. Heard from Quilt and Jenny, from Krista, from Katie from Quilting Daydreams. And yes, now I've got on my Cotty. I believe it's Cotty. I'm saying that right, aren't I? Cotty, Cotty R. So yay, thank you for getting all. I mean, I've got like, I've got a ton. So from episode 70, 171, 172, 170, 169, 168, just a lot of comments. So thank you. And you know, I love comments. And if you're getting caught up, don't feel like you can't, you can only comment on the most recent episode. You can comment on all. So thanks to AJ Dub. Oh, and I got another comment from Marianne. We're talking about graphic novels, and she read her first graphic novel last year, Mouse. And I have read Mouse, and if you haven't read Mouse, and I believe it's part of a trilogy, there are at least two books in the series, but maybe three. It's amazing, and I highly recommend those books. So, heard from Krista and Noni. Heard from Brenda F., and I think that's it. So thank you. A lot of great comments. I really appreciate it. And I will say Brenda F. laughed at my discussion of cold temperatures where she is. They had 60 hours of below zero temperatures and wind chills as low as below 40. Brenda, move. Come see me in North Carolina where it's dang temperate. That's like my editor emailed me, and she works in New York and lives in New Jersey, and they got 3 inches of snow, I guess Thursday or Friday, and her children were sad because they still had to go to school. I said, move down to North Carolina, they'd be out of school for a week. So thank you to everyone who has who thought about commenting. I appreciate it. Yes, and speaking of that, I got a great email last week and from Carmit, and she sent an article about sociopolitical quilts and QuiltCon, and I will do my best to remember to post the link in my show notes. I think that what I'll have in show notes, pictures-wise, definitely of the four patch I'm hand-piecing. If I get my act together, I will also include picture of my Victoria Finlay Wolf stars. That'd be my VFW stars. That should be easy. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Victoria Finlay Wolf. Yeah. And if you're really good, and if I remember, I made a new skirt for my bathroom sink downstairs. It's orange. It's nice. I've got a whole new, and I bought some sort of lavender color towels, hand towels. So whole new color scheme other than the blue walls in the bathroom. Maybe I'll get a picture of those. I don't know. But I love hearing from you. I appreciate you taking the time to comment. And you can email me comments if you want at fdowell@nc.rr.com. And now for the outro.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.